This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to my podcast. I am so honored today to interview Pat Williams, who is one of my heroes. And we're going to talk about a man named Mr. Littlejohn, who impacted his life and has impacted my life. And I think after you hear about him and his success principles, it will impact you. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back and welcome to Pat Williams. I'm so honored that you would take time to come over here and talk to me about your mentor, Mr. Littlejohn, who you wrote a book in 2000 called Mr. Littlejohn's Secrets to a Lifetime of Success. And here, 20 years later, I discovered this book. I devoured this book. You know, of course, I wanted to talk to you about it. So Mr. Littlejohn was your mentor. Why don't you tell me the impact that he had on your life?
Steve, let me go back in history a little bit. In February of 1965, I was 24 years old. I'd finished 2 years as a minor league ball player in the Phillies farm system, and now I was going to start a career in the front office. So I had been named the general manager of the Phillies Farm Club in Spartanburg, South Carolina. They told me to go down to Spartanburg, and when I got there, to go by the house of Mr. R.E. Littlejohn, who was the principal owner of the ball club. I arrived on a Sunday afternoon, nervous. Oh, yeah, I was nervous. It was a rainy, cold Sunday afternoon in Spartanburg. I went to the house. I found it, 315 Glendalen Place, knocked on the door. And the door opened, and it was a woman. It was Mrs. Littlejohn. Everybody called her Sam. I found out later. She explained to me that her husband was away at a funeral that day. He'd be back at the office the next day, wanted to see me. And then Mrs. Littlejohn said this, Steve. She said, no matter how long you're in ball, that's what she called baseball, no matter how long you're in ball, she said, you'll never meet another man like my husband. I thought, huh? I didn't say anything. As it turns out, Mrs. Littlejohn was right. I never had met a man like her husband, and years later, I still haven't. And that's how it all started. And so for the next four baseball seasons, I was there with Mr. Littlejohn, 65, 6, 67, and 68. And at the end of the 68 season, I left to start a 51-year career in the National Basketball Association. But over those 4 years, Steve, Mr. Littlejohn had a quality that is very rare. It's called wisdom. And I did not at the time fully understand it, but as life went on for me, and I got deeper and deeper into the world of professional athletics, I kept thinking back to my time with Mr. Littlejohn and these wisdom principles that he was passing on to me. And I was absorbing them. And eventually I sat down and wrote them out. And then I thought, boy, this could really be helpful to a lot of people who don't have a Mr. Littlejohn in their life. And through this book, I thought maybe he can become their mentor. And so that's what happened.
And they have. I've told people many times you could be mentored by people who are dead through their books.
Yes.
Most men need a mentor of some kind, but you particularly did because of something very tragic that happened when you were in college.
Well, my father had been killed in an automobile accident, Steve, coming home from my college graduation at Wake Forest. I was 22, he was mid-50s, and he had an automobile accident that took his life. This would have been very early in June of 1962. And just when a young man really needs his father, my dad was gone. And so this would, I guess, be 3 years later, 65, when I ended up in Spartanburg to be this flashy new general manager with lots of goals and dreams. And Mr. Littlejohn was there. I sought him out. There's no question, Steve. I spent many, many, many hours at his house, at his office, and I was constantly going to him and brainstorming and talking, but he just had this ability, not in a way where he would say, "Now, Pat, I'm going to pass along to you wisdom principle number 8. Make sure you have a pen." No, that didn't happen. But just in the flow of running a minor league baseball team, these items would just keep coming up. He was a teacher at heart, but what the real mission was, we were trying to run a successful baseball operation. So I thought later, boy, I better capture these principles that he was teaching me.
And apparently you did very well, because by your description in the book, it was a rundown stadium. The attendance was way down. You couldn't control if the team was good or not, because the Phillies would pull out any good players.
Yes.
So what did you do? Did you do this on your own, or did Mr. Littlejohn help you figure out how to turn around that franchise?
Well, Steve, I came there with lots and lots of energy and enthusiasm, imbued by another important person in my baseball life. His name was Bill Veeck. Bill Veeck was the ultimate promoter in baseball, and he had taken an interest in me some years before when I was even younger, and I became absolutely locked to the philosophy of Bill Veeck. And the philosophy was simply this: you cannot control the won and loss column, particularly in minor league baseball, when you have no control over who your players are going to be. They all come from the Philadelphia organization. But you can control what goes on at your ballpark every night. Is the stadium clean? Is the ladies' room attractive? Are your concessions tasty? Are you doing things to make it just a fun night at the ballpark? Far beyond the game, what are you doing to entertain people? So that was really part of my makeup, really, as far as sports was concerned. And, Steve, all through these years, that's never changed. Through my basketball career, through these years here in Orlando, you know, we have always felt you can't beat fun at the old stadium, or can't beat fun at the old ballpark. And that's what we've done with the Magic for 30-plus years, to make it absolutely the most fun experience people can have. So I was doing that. Mr. Littlejohn certainly saw the wisdom of that, and he was always encouraging me, you know, with my promotions and some of my zany stunts and some of the things that I was doing. Now, it could have been, and I was spending money to do it, Steve. I mean, the stuff I was doing probably was a little pricey for a budget of a team at that size, but Mr. Littlejohn never scolded me and never got on me because I had a percentage of the profits deal at the end of the year. And so if I didn't get as big a bonus check as possible, it was probably my own fault, because I'd been spending a lot of money to bring in these attractions.
Well, let's talk about Mr. Littlejohn. He was a self-made man. Mm-hmm. I remember that from the book. During World War II. He was obviously wealthy by the time he owned the ball team.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also a very, very strong Christian.
Yes.
And I was telling my wife, I was describing the book and so forth, and I said, he reminds me of a Southern gentleman in the good sense. I'm suppose there's some bad stereotypes too, but he seemed like just a wonderful, wonderful person, and obviously had a big impact. So just tell us a little bit more about it. And then, if I remember correctly, in the book, you were having dinner with him and said he should write a book or something, and wrote down these principles on a napkin or some kind of paper that you had there, and then that resulted in this book all these years after his death.
Well, Steve, that was years later. I was with the I was with the Atlanta Hawks by then. That would be the 73-74 season. We had a break in the spring. Mr. Littlejohn loved to go to spring training. You know, he would come to Florida, loved to go to the Phillies exhibition games or others. And so I had a period in Atlanta when I could get away, and I came down to spend a few days with him at spring training. This was this would have been the spring of 74. I'd been away from Spartanburg at that point about 6 years, but we stayed in very close touch. And I remember sitting at dinner with Mr. and Mrs. Littlejohn, and I said, yeah, this would be kind of fun. I called him Coach. His wife was Sam, and that's what I called them. And I said, I got some paper here. I just want to review, Coach, your teachings to me. And so we began to sit and brainstorm, and his wife chirped in with a few, and we ended up with these 16 principles that I had learned from him in those 4 years. Let me go back, Steve. He was a South Carolina kid, grew up, loved sports, went to Furman University, but didn't last. You know, he had to go to work to support his family, and he got into the oil transportation business. One writer in Spartanburg called him the tanker tycoon, and you would see Associated Petroleum trucks going up and down the highway in abundance. You still see a few of them, and so that's what he did. But he had a deep love of sports, loved basketball, loved Furman athletics, and loved baseball. He was a fan. He had a great love of sports. But, Steve, the thing that really began to catch my attention was I would go over to his house and learn and pick from him and tell him what we were doing, etc. But inevitably, there would be somebody else there, a preacher from a little Baptist church, the basketball coach at Furman, the banker from the local savings and loan, the pastor at First Baptist Spartanburg. Those kind of people were there as well. And it finally dawned on me that they were there to take his wisdom. They would come with their sets of problems or difficulties, and they would want to get Mr. Ari, that's what they called him, Mr. Ari's take on it before they did anything or made decisions. They just wanted him to analyze their situation. And then my point is, Steve, those kind of people are rare. I call them founts of wisdom. They're not all that many out there. And when you find a man or a woman of wisdom, you want to spend time with them before you make key decisions. You really want to get their take on it. So now, and above all, Mr. Littlejohn was a strong Christian. He was a deacon at First Baptist Spartanburg, and he had a great love for the Lord. Mrs. Littlejohn always used to say, and she called him Mr. Ari. She said, Mr. Ari is plugged very tightly to God. And if you have a prayer request, you come to him, and he gets straight through to the Father. You know, she would say that kind of kiddingly, but he had a great love for the Lord. Now, he was not, you would not hear him on the street corner conducting an outreach meeting on a street corner, waving his tambourine. You know, that was not him. But in a quiet way, he was a strong witness. And the footnote to this story, Steve, is in February of 1968, I was 27 at the time, I came to Christ in his office, in his arms, on his shoulder, at 4:15 in the afternoon, on February 22nd, 1968.
Wow.
That was kind of the culmination to my years in Spartanburg, because he always said, you're not ready yet, because I wanted to move, Steve. Every young executive in sports wants to move up and get to the next level or to the big leagues. He always used to say to me, Pat, he said, you can go to the big leagues from Spartanburg, which was unheard of. You know, in players or managers, Steve, they got to go to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. And we're at the lowest level of baseball, and he's saying, you can go to the big leagues from Spartanburg, which was unheard of. And he said, you're not ready yet, Pat. You're not ready yet. You're not ready. And when I came to Christ, he said, now you're ready.
Interesting. So he's actually the one who led you to the Lord?
Well, he had a big part of it. There were other people. There were other experiences I had. But at the end of the day, I could look back and see, here's what was going on. Through all of this, he was steering me. And he didn't want to do it in a way that would turn me off or make me think that he was trying to take advantage or whatever. He had a good sense. But when it was time, when I was really wrestling Steve with this decision that was just coming before me, the only thing I could think of was to go see him. And I went out to his office that day and said, Coach, here's what's going on, and here's what's happening, and here's what I think I should do, and I feel like I'm ready. And he just led me. I mean, he said, Pat, now's your time. Now's your time. This is your moment. And it was powerful and emotional, and I wept deeply. Probably stained his suit. But when it was finished, he said, he began talking to me right then. He said about what an influence I could be through sports, because I felt that I was going to be called to the mission field. I thought I was going to end up in Africa if I just totally made a commitment, and I would have been willing to do that. But I love sports, and that was my life. And he kept saying, you don't have to change your profession. If God wants you in this, he said, you can have an enormous impact through sports. You know, he kept stressing that to me.
And now you have for more than 50 years. It's well known. You don't hide it. At least from my observation, you don't seem to wear it on your shoulder. And it's a tough business, but everybody knows where you stand with the Lord.
Well, Steve, that was a lot because of him. Nobody looked upon Mr. Ari as weird. They didn't come over to his house, you know, to be weirded out. They knew where he stood spiritually. They knew that he was close to the Lord. And they were there to take his wisdom and take his knowledge and his insights. And he did it, always did it in a kind, loving way, a gentlemanly way. I learned a lot about that, Steve, about how to share your faith and how to live a Christian life without offending people or them veering away from you. Oh, here he comes. Let's get on the other side of the street. We don't want to run into that guy. People were drawn to Mr. Littlejohn like a magnet. And
that's how it should be, isn't it?
Yes, and then that left a deep imprint on me that as I grew in my Christian life, I kept thinking back to the people that were just descended on his house because they needed to learn and take from him, and they had situations that were important to them, and they went to him. And Steve, here was the ultimate. When baseball situations would arise, the owner of the Philadelphia Phillies and the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies would end up on the phone seeking counsel from Mr. Littlejohn at the lowest level of their system down here in Spartanburg. And the top two guys up in Philadelphia would have made a phone call. Mr. Littlejohn would tell me that he said, I just heard from John Quinn, the general manager, and he wanted to talk, and I thought, or Mr. Carpenter just called me on Christmas Day, and I thought, what is going on? I said, that's unbelievable, that the top two, the owner and the GM of the big club, are seeking counsel from Mr. Littlejohn down here at the very lowest level.
Well, it wasn't his level; it was his wisdom.
Yeah, that's right, and they knew.
And they knew it.
They knew that they probably couldn't have verbalized it. But they knew that this Mr. Littlejohn would call him, I'm just a country boy from Cross Anchor, you know. He would, but they were seeking wisdom from the country boy, and Mr. Littlejohn would tell you that his wisdom came from above, that his wisdom came from the Lord, and these men up in Philadelphia were seeking godly wisdom from the country boy who was getting it from above. Interesting little
it is interesting.
Circle of life, isn't it, Steve?
Well, I enjoyed the book a lot.
Good.
I also enjoyed finding out some of your story. I've read several of your books. I followed you, of course, here in Orlando. I thought I knew more about your story than I did. For example, I didn't know that your father was tragically killed.
Mm.
And there's a lot of you in it. And also, you took time to explain to the reader about how to accept Christ. Yes. And I guess you must do that in a lot of your books. But, you know, podcasts are usually not very long, but I think it's important that we talk about these 16 principles, which I thought enough of that I have framed them.
Isn't that something?
So I could look at it. I hope you're enjoying my conversation with Pat Williams. There's more to it, and so I'm going to have part one and part two. You're going to want to tune in tomorrow for another podcast. And what we're going to do is to talk about Mr. Little John's 16 principles. Pat's book that we're talking about actually makes a chapter out of each principle. And so when Pat talked about it, it went on and on. And I thought, this is a great way that I can focus on the 16 principles by themselves. You're not going to want to miss this. So tune in again tomorrow to the Strang Report. And let me just mention, as I try to in all my podcasts, my new book, God, Trump, and the 2020 Election. I didn't talk to Pat about it. He told me that he has read all three of my books on Trump, which is quite an honor considering that he's written so many books himself and he's so very busy. But I do think it's very important. And then my new book, God, Trump, and COVID-19, which is just barely out, but you can get both on my website, stevestrangbooks.com. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report today. We're right at the edge of 5 million downloads. Who knows? Maybe this podcast will put it over. Tune in again tomorrow. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.